Blessings. I made a point of saying last week, and I'll say it again, hello, good morning, afternoon, evening to Nigel's mum that is going to listen to this at some point. Not Nigel's mum, Emma's mum. But that could be prophetic, Nigel.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to share a message with us today that will hopefully encourage us. But as you may know or may not know, if you don't know me very well, I'm not afraid to be challenging and speak of difficult subjects, but this isn't one of them. This is simple, and I hope I can get it across in a way that you will understand and be blessed by it. Because if we, when I was doing my Bible college days, and that was very brief, there was something that really impacted me. As when the tutor said to us, if somebody speaks and you hear what they say, you've taught them something. If somebody speaks and you don't hear what they say, you've not taught them anything. So it's important for us to speak the right language. When we look through scripture and we see the Paul and Peter, Paul would speak a language that the Gentiles understood, and Peter would speak a language that the Jews would understand. So when they spoke about God, they knew exactly which God. And when Paul spoke about God, they say, which one? Which deity is it? That's not what I want to talk about today, but I want to encourage us. And before that, I just want to be mindful that, you know, in life, it gets tough, doesn't it? Or am I the only one? We walk through tough times, don't we? We're in the world, but not of the world. And that's something that we always need to remember. And also, you know, it's worth saying to us as a congregation, as a body of believers here, that there are things that we feel are out of our control. There's many people that I know within our church, within Grace Church, that they've been caring for loved ones for many months, many years. There's a time of, when we celebrate Christmas, it can be bittersweet, because it's a time where it's pressure on many families to be perfect. This pressure to give the right gifts and to react in the right way when you get the thing you don't want. Oh, thank you. And you've just got to be mindful not to send it back to them the next year. Remember who gave it to you. But there's times where we suffer tragedy. We suffer loss. We suffer bereavement. We suffer where loved ones are mentally unstable, emotionally in a bad place. And yet we can come to church and hear a message about being triumphant. But the reality is, something that I've said probably over the 17 years that I've been privileged to be in full-time ministry, is that we can't give what we haven't got. So if you haven't got that peace, you can't pray that peace into someone else's life. If you don't believe that you're empowered through the Holy Spirit, then you can't empower someone else. You know, when we pray, God does move. We can't see it. And it's like, if you imagine, there's the seed being sown in the seed bed, and there's lots of rocks around it, and the person you're praying for is covered in rubble. Every time you pray, it's like removing a rock. Every time you intercede, it's like saying, no, devil, you're not having them. You're not moving in this situation. And so often as Christians, we can be quite well-mannered and well-behaved, and we just go, Satan, would you please leave my family alone? Well, do you know that God's given you power and he's given you authority to say no? You leave my family. You leave this circumstance. You leave that situation. That's not what I want to preach about today. But I wanted to say that, and say thank you for the many prayers that have been prayed for me over this last year, the generosity of you, our church, the way that you've supported us and loved us, Susan and I. We feel it, and it needs to be said at least once a year. Thank you. Thank you. And there's people in church that say to me, oh, Andrew, I can't be with you on Sunday. I'm not well, but all I can do is pray. Well, what a privilege to know there's people who are willing to pray when they're unwell for us. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for the way you serve. Thank you for the way you give. And I believe wholeheartedly that this is a foundation on which God's going to build on. Okay, so today, in the 3.5 hours I have, in case you're a visitor, maybe three, in the 3 hours that we have together, these few moments, I want to talk about what are you wearing? That sounds a strange subject. And what are you wearing? Now hopefully you'll get this as I go along. Many of you, if you've read scripture, you'll know this portion of scripture. It's in Genesis 37. I want to read from verse 3. And it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons." And we hear the stories and maybe even seen the musical of Joseph and his technicolored dream coat. "Because he had been born to him in his old age, he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word against him." Now, when I've read this lots of times. I read the Bible on a regular basis, you'll be pleased to know, and this is a very familiar portion of scripture, but I read this recently, and suddenly, when you look around the world, you look at the way people are being treated. You know, whether you're Christians, whether you're Jews, people seem to hate because they want to hate. And when you look at this story here, you know, because he had this ornate robe, that wasn't why they hated him. They hated him because they saw that his father loved him more than he loved them. And you know, when you look at our faith, we look at the Christian faith, we know that God loves us, don't we? And the mere fact that God loves us means there will be people that will hate us. Just because God loves us. They don't even know us. And I know that to be true because you've just got to look around. You've just got to switch on the TV. You've just got to listen to the radio. You've just got to look at your neighbours. You know, you can be anything you want to be, but if you're a Christian in the world we live in today, people will hate you. Why? Because God loves you. And that's the reason. Because it's a spiritual battle, isn't it? So what are you wearing today? What is it that you... The Bible says, you know, when it talks about praise, it says put on a garment of praise. It's something that we physically put on in the spiritual, if that doesn't not make sense. We need to come with that attitude. And so I just want to talk about what it is God's given us to wear. And in Genesis 37:23, it says, "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, his ornate robe that he was wearing." The robe reminded them of the love of the father. And what happens, and if we talk about darkness and light, we talk about good and evil. Because that's the truth of it, isn't it? You know, we as Christians, we are taught, and rightly so, to be generous, to be compassionate, to be forgiving. But we also need to be taught that we are who God says we are. We are justified, sanctified, set apart. We're part of the royal priesthood. We've been adopted into his family. What God says we are, we are. And that's something that we also need to be reminded of. And so the world will come along and try and strip us of our identity. Yeah, well, you don't do this and you don't do that. And there's times, if we're not careful, that we'll start to believe what the world is saying about us and they'll take our robe off us. So I want us to know that we are clothed, not just with compassion, but with power. And that God has a plan and a purpose for you, as he has a plan and a purpose for me. In Exodus 28:31, "Make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth." This is all to do with the priestly garments. And if you want to know, Mike does some great modelling. Not as in he puts them on. He likes to draw pictures. He'll give you the temple and he'll give you the robe, and at some point when I do this more justice, we'll put a picture up of what the priest, the high priest, would have been wearing. But he would have had a robe. He would have had a robe that was on him, and it's part of that priesthood. And because what I'm trying to say to you, and what I'll get through by the end of this message, is that you're part of that priesthood. And you've been clothed in a robe. And we have been given power. But we don't go into the Holy of Holies once a year with bells on our tassels just in case something goes wrong. We don't go into the Holy of Holies with a blood offering. We can enter any time because of what God has clothed us with.
And so at the end of this year, if you like, in the beginning of the next year, my encouragement to us is this, that I want this to be for you. I don't want to preach a message that will convict you to forgive your neighbour, and that's good to forgive your neighbour. I don't want to bring a message that will convince you to love someone that you don't love very much more. That's a good thing to do. I don't want to convince you to pray like you've never prayed before, and that's a good thing to do. I want you to simply go away knowing who you are and that you're dressed in a certain way. So what are you wearing today? What is it that you're clothed in? So let me encourage us as we look at Isaiah 61. At least once a year I like to bring this in. Many of you will know, and some of you may not know. This is a portion of scripture that is dear to me. So I'm going to read it, take a few moments just to read through it, and just listen to what is being said through this, and try and identify with it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Now you could put your name in there. The Spirit of what, me, Pastor? Yes, you. God's saved you for a purpose, yes? He's not just saved you for a purpose because he needs more gardeners in his garden. He saved you because he loves you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, he's upon you, because the Lord has anointed me. He's anointed you to proclaim good news. So if you get it into perspective, there's an anointing for what? To proclaim good news. So if there's good news, that means there's bad news. And the good news to the poor is simply ministering God's grace to those that have never heard it before. To proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. How many know that there's you don't have to walk far, do you, to find someone who's brokenhearted? Even some of us, we know what we mean by being brokenhearted. It's something that happens inside and it hurts. Yeah? It can be through a loss. It can be through a friend that said something and accused you of something. It can be for a manner of things. It can be a mental, an emotional, a spiritual, a financial situation. We know what it is to be brokenhearted. But God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to bind up the brokenhearted. And guess what? He sent you as well. He sent you to bind up broken hearts. To proclaim freedom for the captives. And that means that there's people that are in bondage. And we hear it, don't we? That they're in captivity. There are people in the world today that are in captivity, in a cell, in a dungeon somewhere, being held against their will. But there are also others that are in bondage in their own minds, in their own bodies, in their own homes, in their own marriages, in their own relationships. They've been bound by what the enemy has said about them. And there's a saying that I'm sure most of you have heard is, don't cross the line. Well, I think I've got this right. But in America, some years ago, they used to have a prison in the middle of a desert, and that had no walls. And all it had was a line in the sand. Just a line in the sand. And they would say to the prisoners, you can go anywhere within the line, but don't cross the line, because if you cross the line, then we'll shoot you. There's a line in the sand. And there's a time for you and I to realise that there's a line that we need to cross in order to bind up a broken heart, in order to set the prisoners free. We need to go into the enemy's territory. When I was in America many years ago, there was a song that this lady sung. This powerful black woman. She stood up and she belted out this song. She's talking about, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Yes, she says, I took back what he stole from me. If you look at the story of David when he goes into the enemy's camp and he brought back all the plunder, including the wives and the children that were taken into captivity. He went into the enemy's camp and he took back what's stolen. What's been stolen from you today? What's been stolen from you this past year? You know, has the enemy tried to rob you of your grace, your peace, your finances, your ability? Has he tried to say that you aren't what God says you are? Well, go back and take it. Be dressed in the armour that God has given you. What are you wearing today? To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, the day of the vengeance of our God. You see, there is a favour, but there's also a day of judgment. Because when we read half of this scripture, it's all good, and then we don't want to read this bit. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Thank you, Lord, but the day of the vengeance of our God. God's coming back for a holy church. A righteous church. He's coming back for his bride. To comfort all who mourn. To comfort all who mourn. You know, we need to comfort one another when we're grieving, don't we? You know, one of the things that I kind of loosely say it's a blessing, but I understand what it is to mourn, to grieve. From the age of 8, I lost my grandfather who lived with us. My father died when I was 11, and then family members would pass away in their younger years. And I grew up realizing that when I became a Christian, I cut the strings of my past and I didn't have to fear dying prematurely. But there was a point in that crossover period where I was a child of the living God and I'd been grieving all this loss. And in that grief was a fearfulness that maybe I will die of a brain tumor like my dad did. Maybe I will die prematurely like my mother did. Maybe this will happen. But there came a point where the strings were cut. And I said, I belong to the Lord. I'm clothed in what he clothes me in. And not what the world has said. And so I want to encourage us to know there is a day of vengeance, but we've been spared that. But there is an opportunity for us to comfort all who mourn. For us to simply put our arms around somebody. My friend Steve, many years ago, he knocked on the door of my neighbour and we was having a home group meeting. And he stood there and he said, Andrew, my brother's just been killed. What do you do with that? You're a Christian, born again, spirit filled. Do you tell him all about Jesus? Do you say, did he repent before he got knocked over? It sounds glib, doesn't it? But what goes through your mind? What we're called to do is to comfort. So all I did was put my arms around him and I wept. And you know, there's times as church, that's all we need to do. It's just comfort. We don't need to have the words of wisdom at that moment. We just need to bring God's comfort. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. What are you wearing? What are you clothed with? Are you clothed with compassion? Because that's what compassion does. It comforts all who mourn. It provides for those who grieve in Zion. It bestows on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You see, there's a difference. But we have to have it in order to give it. If we haven't got that garment, we can't wrap it around someone else. We cannot bring them the opposite to despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness as us, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. We will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. There might be something in our lives, and as we go through this scripture, yes, easy for a preacher to be evangelistic, to stretch things, but there's a truth in every single sentence. There's a truth there that we can apply to ourselves. There are things that may be in devastation for generations. You know, I remember family members saying to me and Susan, you'll never change. They've always been like that. Nothing else will happen. We've been like this for generations. Our family has a history of this. Have you heard that one? You know, there's been cancer in the family. Yeah, our family has a history of cancer. Our family has a history of depression. For generation after generation after generation. No. No, because we've been clothed in righteousness. You see, the buck stops with me in my generation. I dare say I'm the healthiest individual in my family. In my natural family. Not my grandchildren are my natural family. I'm talking about brothers and sisters. I'm the healthiest one. At 63, I still can walk. I'm not on medication after medication. And why is that so different? Because I'm wearing something different. I have the shoes of the gospel on. I have the helmet of salvation. What are you wearing today? So if there's something that's happened generation after generation, then today, Be the difference. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and your vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You know, everything is going to be connected in these scriptures if you look for them, if you listen for them. So we're talking about the robe that was worn by Joseph. And because he was loved by his father, he was hated by everyone else. And that's what happens to us when we wear Christ as a cloak. When we put on the garment of praise, when we say that we are clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've died with him and we've been buried with him and we've been raised with him, we put on a new self, the Bible says. The new self. And because we put on the new self, people hate us. They don't even know us, but they hate us. But that's okay because God loves us. And if you take the time to read through the story of Joseph, I mentioned it Christmas, just before Christmas, and he gets to a point where he could have annihilated his brothers. He could have put them to death instantly. He was so powerful. And yet he looked and said, "Fear not. You didn't sell me into slavery. God allowed this to happen." There's things in your life that are unpleasant and unhelpful. But God knows. The Bible says, pray in all circumstances, but not for the circumstance. You don't have to pray, "Lord, thank you, I'm in the pit." But "Lord, I thank you that you can get me out of this pit." I remember some years ago, I was going through a particular tough time in church, and I won't go into details, but I had a friend of mine ring me up, and she said, "I have this picture, Andrew, of a lot of sticky stuff being thrown at you." She said, "Shake it off, stamp on it, and use it to get out of the hole that you find yourself in." You know, there's times where bad things will happen to good people, but if you're wearing the right clothes, you'll be able to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. So I want to encourage us, all of us, to understand who we are and what God's already given us. You will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. Going back to the robe, the priestly robe. You know, God calls us ministers. He's clothed us. You will feed on the wealth of nations. In their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, this is talking about God's people, and we are God's people, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. You have to receive your inheritance in order to rejoice in it. We've all been given an inheritance, but not everybody claims it. So you will inherit a double portion in your land. Everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people. That's you. That's me. And make an everlasting covenant with them, with you. Their descendants will be known amongst the nations, their offspring among the peoples. So often we fear for our children, don't we? We do. Oh, and if you haven't got children, you might have other young family members. We fear for them. But you know what? We have a privilege of covering them with our prayers. You know, if you think about it, when Lazarus was in the tomb, he was dead, yes? And the Bible says he stinketh. He'd been there a long time. And when we think about faith, and I'm not saying there's not truth in what other preachers are saying about this, but there's times that I've heard in my life that that hasn't happened because I don't have enough faith for it. And it may be with you that the enemy will come along and you go, "Oh, I'm clothed with your garments, Lord. I'm clothed with your righteousness." And he whispers in your ear, "But yeah, this isn't happening because you haven't got enough faith." Well, let me ask you this. The enemy might say that your children, your family member, your loved one is not going to recover, not going to be able to do that because they don't have faith. Well, how much faith do you think Lazarus had? He had none, did he? While he was dead, while he stinketh. But Jesus did, didn't he? And I know you can look at this in several ways, but I want to look at it through the truth of what it says. Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. So whose faith was it at that point? It was the faith of the person praying. It was the faith of Jesus. So I want to suggest to you that because you are part of the priesthood, you've been given that robe to wear, you've been given that helmet of salvation, you've been given the sword of the Spirit. When you pray, you're praying through the faith that Christ has already given you. Yeah, but it's only a mustard seed. Well, that's enough, isn't it? Well, the birds can come and perch on your branches as it grows. And that whole mustard seed thing, think about it. It says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved. What happened with the mustard seed? It grew. So as we pray for something, our faith grows. Our faith grows. It has to be planted into good soil. That's you. You're good soil. How do I know you're good soil? Because the parable that Jesus gave was that some seed fell on rocky places. The cares of this world and the perversion of the world came along and it robbed them. But it talks about good soil, where it produces something. See, when you continue to walk in the walk that God's called you to, it means you're good soil. It doesn't mean that there won't be weeds now and again that need to be pulled out. But you've been covered. You've been covered by God's grace, and you are able to pray in His grace, in His power. The offspring among the peoples, all who see them will acknowledge they are the people the Lord has blessed. You know, there's times in your life, and you might not have even heard it properly, where someone will look at you and you're going through a situation, a circumstance, a certain devastation, and you're able to mourn with those that mourn and rejoice with those that rejoice. You're able to take the knocks, and people look, and I'm sure there will be individuals in your life that will say, surely she is blessed of the Lord. Verse 10, I delight greatly in the Lord, my soul rejoices in God, for He has clothed me. All of that to say this: He has clothed me with garments of salvation. So what are you wearing today? Are you wearing that garment of salvation? I've been saved. I've been set apart. I'm going from glory to glory. Or is it, I took it off this morning and now I feel wretched? Well, we've been saved. What does it mean to be saved? Well, look through Scripture. You know, there's heaven and there's hell. You know, heaven is where God is and hell is where He isn't. And there's lots of things we can say about that. But I want to be where God is, where there is no more mourning, no more sickness, no more unpleasantness, no more robbery, no more murder. That's heaven. That's salvation. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And you know what? The Bible teaches us that we can receive that here while we're on earth. Yes, it will be a painful walk. Yes, it will be hard to see with the eyes that God has given us, to have that compassionate heart that He wants to soften us with. But if we are clothed with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, you see, we're all priests. We've been adopted into His family. We're part of the royal priesthood, the Bible says. And it was only the priest that gained access into the Holy of Holies once a year to sacrifice sins. And now because of His death and His resurrection, when He was on the cross, this is Christ Himself, and He said, it's finished, and the curtain tore from top to bottom. It gave you access, just like it gave the priest access. And what's the garment you wear? You wear garments of salvation and a robe of righteousness. What is it to be righteous? I'm glad you asked. To be righteous, to have a right standing with God. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come and save me. Lord, I can't do it, but through Your strength I can. Lord, once I was blind, I want to see You. Lord, I couldn't hear Your whisper, now I want to. Robe of righteousness. As the bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the soil makes the sprout come up, and the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. What are you clothed with today?
Are you clothed in salvation?
Well, that's good news, isn't it? Isn't it? It's good news. Are we wearing that robe of righteousness? It's not about what you feel. Just before you say anything. It's not about what you feel, but Pastor, I don't feel righteous. I don't feel righteous. But I know what God says about me. Lazarus was stinking in the tomb. Yet Jesus knew that when he called his name, he would come forth. God knows you. Just like the mustard seed has to grow and mature into a tree, so we have to grow and mature into what God's called us to be. But if we just see our faults, then every time God does something in our lives, we'll deny it. But as we say, Lord, I am who you say I am. I can do what you say I can do. I am wearing that robe of righteousness because I'm right with you. And then if you struggle with that, let me help you with that struggle. You simply go, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. As was prayed in the Psalms, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. You're righteous with God. What are you wearing today? In Revelation 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. If you look through Scripture, you'll see that we, the church, are called the bride of Christ. So he is the bridegroom, we are the bride of Christ. For the bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. For linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. So right through Scripture, when we talk about garments, it's a garment of praise and not a spirit of heaviness. It's a robe of righteousness. When Revelation, it talks about the bride of Christ, it talks about being spotless and clean. But there's times in our lives that we don't feel spotless, we don't feel clean, we feel grubby. But we are washed by the blood of the Lamb, yes? The Bible says keep short accounts. So when we feel that that garment that God has given us is slipping off, then simply keep a short account with God. Allow him to speak to you and through you. In Isaiah 62 verse 12 it says this: they will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called sought after. No longer the city, no longer deserted. Now this is talking about you, so I want to bring it back to us. I don't want to bring a message that will say, you know, I want you to be strengthened so that you can do this for someone else, that for someone else. But there is a truth in this message. But if we truly understand who we are, we will be the ones that will stop saying, I am not worthy. You are worthy. You know, we have to get it into context. I was in a meeting some years ago in my founding church, and there was a lady, and she was praying this prayer, and I now have matured enough to understand what she meant, but at the time I was a bit indignant. And she prayed and she said, oh Lord, I am not worthy to come into your presence. And I stood there, and I was a bit arrogant in them days. I'm slightly less arrogant now. And I said, well, I am. I'm worthy. Because he died for me. I'm justified, sanctified, set apart, going from glory to glory. I'm part of the royal priesthood. I've been adopted in his family. I am worthy to come in because he died for me. He shed his blood. Now I understand. She could have been meaning that, Lord, there's things in my life that causes you pain. There's things that I may have done and said that takes away the very thing that you've given me, and I don't feel worthy. But you are worthy because you are clothed in his righteousness. You have a right standing with God because your sin has been nailed to his cross. His blood has covered you. So you are worthy. That's not arrogance. We know that we get it wrong. Or is there any perfect people here? If there's anyone perfect, could you please come and replace me and lead this church? Because we need some perfection. No, none of us. That's why we need a saviour, because we're sinners. But if we don't understand that we are clothed, that we've been redeemed, that we're sought after, no longer deserted. You know, do you feel that your family's deserted you, your friends have deserted you, that everyone's against you? Well, they're not all against you. Lift up your eyes. There are more of them with us than there are of us. We just need to lift our eyes up. Because as we lift our eyes up, we see who Christ is. And as we see who Christ is, we understand who we are. We understand that we have been clothed. So I want to encourage you as we come to the end of this season and go into another season, that you are who God says you are. Is there things you need to get right? Maybe there is. I don't know. But today is the day of salvation, so get right with God today and understand that you're a holy people, redeemed of the Lord. And when you redeem something, it's been left on deposit and then you go and you get it back. Well, the Bible says that once you were lost, now you're found. Yeah, you've been redeemed, haven't you? God has brought you back. Not only are you redeemed, he's paid in full for your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. Doesn't mean that we can live life as we want. No, don't misunderstand me. We need to be a righteous people because we serve a righteous God. But I want you to understand that you've been redeemed, that you're sought after. No longer a city that's deserted. That God has blessed you, will bless you, is blessing you. In Isaiah 54 verse 5, "For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." So when we get this picture of the robe that was just an ornate robe, but it signified the love of the Father, and there was a hatred because the Father loved the Son. The same with me and you. The world will hate you. And the Bible says and tells you why, because they first hated him. The world will hate you because God loves you. And there'll be times you'll try to work out, why don't my neighbours invite me to the barbecues like they do everyone else? Why is there always something happening in my family and they don't seem to get on with me because I'm a Christian? What about this and what about that? Hatred is a big word, but let's just use it for illustration purposes. Why do they hate me? Well, that's because he loves you. But he doesn't just love you and leave you as orphans. He adopts you into his family and says, come, let me kill the fattened calf. Let me put the ring on your finger. Let me put the sandals on your feet. Let me clothe you with that robe. Come and eat. And God says the same. Come and eat. That he puts that robe around us. That robe that signifies that you and I belong to him. And we're part of that royal priesthood. We have the right to enter. That's what it means. We have the right to enter. Do you know that you don't need to go to a priest to get to God? You go directly to God. You don't need to go to a pastor. You don't need to go to a rabbi. You go directly to God. Now, is it good to seek counsel? Of course it is. Because iron sharpens iron. And, you know, someone might have been somewhere that you are looking to go and they can say, no, stop, it's dangerous. It's good to have counsel. But we have been given access because we wear the right clothes. You know, if you go into certain places, you can only gain entrance if you wear the right clothes. What are you wearing today? Is it a robe of righteousness? I hope it is. A garment of praise? I hope it is. You see, he is our Redeemer, and he has done it. I have two more scriptures I just want to share, and then we'll close. In Hosea 2:19, I will betroth you to me forever. And this, you know, when someone... We call it preaching, proclaiming God's word. When we proclaim God's word, you mustn't just take what's being said. You must weigh it up with foundational truth. Make sure you have a Bible that is true. Make sure you have the word of God to say, is this in line with what God is saying? So when I bring anything, I like to bring more than one portion of scripture, so that thread that runs through the Bible is not coincidental, is it? It's living, it's alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So we talk about the beginning in Genesis where it says he had a robe, just an ornate robe, but there was a difference. It was a love covenant, and because of the love of the Father, everyone in the family hated the Son. And then we go through scripture and we look at God gives us a robe of righteousness. And when he gives us a robe of righteousness, our brothers and our sisters hate us. People around us hate us. But as we look and we see that we've been married to the Lord himself, that we are his bride and we are spotless and we are washed and we are covered and we are clothed. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. That's what God says about you and me. We're connected. You know, the two become one. In 1 Peter, I said one scripture, I have two. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people. See, I like to back up my words with his word. Just listen to what it says here. But you are a chosen people. What, me, Pastor? Yeah, you. God chose you. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. God doesn't just save us to soak, to sit and do nothing. He saves us to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, there's times in our lives we'll say, why do we need to be merciful? And God answers it by saying, because you've received mercy. I finish 1 Peter 2:5 that says this. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, we don't have to bring a blood offering. We offer spiritual sacrifices. We offer a sacrifice of praise. Our prayers are spiritual sacrifices. To God through Jesus Christ. So I want to finish with that. I want to close with that. Invite Nigel and Emma and thank them for their service. And just ask us just to reflect on, what are we wearing today? What are you wearing? Are you wearing doubt? Are you clothed in black, in darkness, in unbelief? These are all true things. These are things that happen. And here's the difference, you see. It's almost like we have a wardrobe, and in that wardrobe is the robe of righteousness and the cloak of despair. And you get up in the morning, you go, I think I'm going to be despairing today. And you put it on and you walk around it and you go, woe and woe is me. Or you go, no, I'm putting on that robe of righteousness. Do you feel righteous? No, I don't. But God's given me it to wear, so I'm going to put it on. Are we going to come to church in our Sunday best? Now, I don't expect you all to wear suits next week, so be encouraged. But are you going to come to church in your Sunday best? What that means is, are you going to put on that robe of righteousness, that garment of praise? You know, is Emma going to labour week after week on, please church, praise God, are you going to come already with that garment of praise on going, come on Emma, keep up, we're already praising. Are you going to bring on that garment that God has given us, that righteousness? Lord, I thank you that you've forgiven me, you've enabled me, you've empowered me. Father, I thank you that I can leave the rest at the door. Because of your love for me, I put on that robe of righteousness. I have a right standing with you. Does that make sense? Because I want to encourage us. Because one of the things I realized as studying scripture for myself, that God gives gifts to the church. And I'm sorry to say, at times, a pastor is a gift, apparently, to equip you for works of service. So I can't do it for you, but you can, because he's done it for you. And he wants you to walk with him. So, Father, we thank you.